This is a CNA podcast.
Why does the iPhone still retain fanatical devotion after so many years?
Nostalgia. The iPhone is iconic.
It's accessible enough for a certain group of people.
Well, Apple has been so good in crafting out an image which represents status, prestige, and emotional feeling towards it is almost like a cult these days.
This is The Pulse. I'm David Bottomley. And let me start by making a prediction. In the near future, mysterious lines of people are going to start forming in cities around the world. For hour after hour, they will wait, overnight if necessary, in all types of weather. They'll be queuing for something which they probably don't need, but it's something that they desperately want. And what is the thing that these people covet? It's the latest Apple iPhone. It's now a regular event. Whenever Apple launches a new iPhone, it dominates headlines, and some Apple fans will stop at nothing to get their hands on it. This despite some critics saying other phones perform just as well at a more competitive price. How does Apple do it? Let's hear what the experts have to say. Dr. Jimmy Wong from the Singapore University of Social Sciences is here to speak with us on the consumer appeal of the iPhone. Now, Jimmy, lots of people no doubt getting very excited about the new version of the iPhone. How excited are you?
Not very excited, to be honest.
Why not?
Because, well, before every iPhone comes out, there's always rumors running around. So you start Googling for updates and see what's the appeal, what's new that's been added. Well, the rumors doesn't really appeal to me. I'm in my 40s, right? So all I've seen is just incremental upgrades on the specification speed and things like that.
But the very fact that you're Googling for information clearly suggests that you have some personal interest in what the iPhone has to offer. Why is that?
There's an expectation from the brand Apple. I mean, after all, this is such a fabulous brand, has given us so many fantastic technology, innovation, iPod and what's all, and all those things. So you want them to have that next quantum leap in terms of technology and offerings to the consumers.
So you say you're not that excited about what is rumored to be included in the latest version of the iPhone. But nonetheless, I have no doubt that when it is launched in markets around the world, there will still be plenty of people who are queuing up on the first day of sales to get their hands on one of the latest iPhones. What is it about the iPhone which commands that devotion?
iPhones tells a story. In fact, Apple as a brand itself tells a very strong story about individuality. So that's the story to tell since day one. And the marketing, the storytelling effort has been just fantastic since day one.
So that individuality comes against the backdrop of millions of people actually buying into the Apple brand. Doesn't that undermine that individuality that you were talking about there?
Yes, it's actually quite oxymoronic. It's like the word mass customization kind of thing, right? So you buy an iPhone, and just because it seems to tell the story that this is who you want to be, that freedom side of you needs to be expressed, right? You can do anything you want with the Apple, and Apple is a brand that symbolizes that kind of freedom-seeking attitude in life.
To what extent does that branding still hold true when so many people have bought various versions of the iPhone and various other Apple products? It still seems to retain that individuality, that front-runner appeal, which consumers bought into in the relatively early stages of Apple. So how has Apple managed to keep that narrative moving?
They are barely keeping it together, to be honest, because shipment rates are dropping, the stories are dwindling, and there are reports whereby the attrition rates from iPhones going over to Android is much higher rate compared to, you know, Android users switching over to the iOS environment. And it's not just the Apple brand itself, because after a while, you realize that Apple built an entire ecosystem in which you get kind of like sucked into it in terms of, you know, you want to be productive. So everything is at hand with all your iPad, your iMac, and everything is just lovely and pretty. So you enjoy that kind of things.
You mentioned that downward trend of iPhone sales. What can Apple do to reverse that?
Even Apple themselves understand and recognize that the iPhone is a mature product. I think they will continue to milk it dry
while at the same time trying to move into other revenue-churning businesses such as Apple services, Apple TV, Apple TV Plus, News Plus, Apple Arcade games and stuff like that. So they're moving towards a subscription model.
Does that mean that the iPhone's appeal in terms of people wanting it on the first day of launch, that's going to diminish, that eventually we won't see the lines outside the Apple shops around the world?
I think there will still be lines, just that the lines are getting shorter. That's my prediction. People are holding out onto their phones for a longer period of time. They are holding back. They're trying to see the value in terms of the next iPhone it's going to give. So the more you hold on, then the lines are going to get shorter.
To what extent is what we are seeing with iPhones reflected across the whole smartphone market, that people are less inclined to buy a new phone just because it's the latest model of a particular phone? They want to get more value of what is actually an increasingly expensive piece of equipment.
See, this part, this is when really the iPhone, the Apple ecosystem is playing against them. So if you have an iPhone, and according to some reports, it says that the average, you know, repurchase cycle time has increased from 3 years to 4 years. So which means that when the iPhone 11 is going to be launched soon, technically, right, we are looking at people who are still holding on to iPhone 6. So those are the majority of people who's going to change. Well, of course, this is based on US data. I'm pretty sure not many people hold on to iPhone 6 anymore. But think about this. If you're holding, let's say for me, you ask me what kind of phone I'm holding on, right? I'm holding on to an S9, a Samsung S9, okay? But that's an Android. So for me to switch to another Android phone, such as the Huawei P30 Pro, because it's a 50 times camera zoom that you take fantastic shots of the moon, that's going to be really attractive. Now, I got my S9 last year. So if I'm motivated to change, my cycle time in terms of upgrading, it's just about 1.5 years. Compare that to an Apple iPhone, which is 3 to 4 years. So when you start looking at it, more people is motivated to change. So in an Android environment, there's more reason, there's more value. That's how the consumer sees it. I've got friends who change every year, but not from S8 to 9 to 10 to 11 and whatnot. But she keeps switching to different brands of Android, depending on whichever Android brand provides the best value for money in terms of the camera and the video.
One last question. What's your message to those people who are willing to queue up for hours, days, waiting for the latest version of the iPhone?
You can still do it because honestly, I think I still like the Apple brand. It's sad that they cannot keep up with the innovation and the technology. It is still a very good brand, a very good storyteller from the perspective of marketing.
Dr. Lau Kong Chin lectures on branding at the Singapore University of Social Sciences and is here to talk to us about Apple's business outlook. Now, demand for iPhones has been falling over recent years. To a large extent, the iPhone has been seen as one of Apple's flagship products. To what extent is that falling demand a big problem for the company?
Demand is falling to a certain extent because the market is getting a bit saturated. The new features with the iPhone is tapering out. Incremental improvements are small, given the fact that in the first place, Apple has a very well-designed phone in the past. And therefore, there is not much big gaps that you can fill with a phone in the first place. Majority of the sales are coming from US, as we know it, then Europe and China. China, the consumer market, is also evolving. You have brands like Huawei now, is getting much stronger. Well, recently, Apple did announce that they had increment growth in revenue. But we'll talk about where the revenue comes from. A lot of the sales are repeated sales. The fans are changing to new phones. But of course, there are those who find that, hey, looking at the iPhone 10, some say that they may have priced themselves out of the market. So there are those who really want to have an iPhone, but they can't afford it now because they have shifted the prices up. And that has, to a certain extent, affected the sales of iPhone.
So has that meant that Apple has shot itself in the foot, that trying to build market-leading products and having a price tag that fits in with that
right,
is actually having a counterproductive effect in that it's worsening demand for iPhones?
Right. So you can look at it from two perspectives, a sales perspective or a brand perspective. From a sales perspective, the pricing is rather detrimental to the brand. But from a brand perspective, they need to maintain that premiumness, the perception of the brand, the desirability of the brand. They can't price it to the price of the Huawei or the Samsung because that's not what we see as Apple to be. For instance, we can't price a Ferrari to the price of a Toyota. You can't. there's still high desirability for such a brand, right? Until your pockets, your salary reaches that level, you may not be able to acquire one. Countries like US, Europe is tapering out the demand. And the countries that are growing, India and other parts of Southeast Asia, they're not catching up enough because there are still a lot of high poverty rate in these countries. So the peak of the pyramid is not growing fast enough to fill up the sales.
Bearing in mind those changing market conditions right. that Apple is facing, do you think that Apple will be fairly relaxed about the declining demand for the iPhone in that there's not really very much they can do about it?
They are very much about brand building. You can see in their latest announcement of their revenues and performance, a lot of the revenue is moving towards services. I believe that this is the long-term strategy of Apple, which is to shift revenues from the hardware, which mostly comes from the phones, to services. But nevertheless, they are also using the phone as a base to sell the ancillary products like the AirPods, other accessories, Apple Watches. All this comes together with it. If you don't have the phone, you can't have that. That is part and parcel of the strategy. And then the Apple Care, Apple TV Plus, Apple Pay, Apple Card, they're going to introduce that. They're trying to build a lifestyle and ecosystem around the phone. So therefore, if you see the incremental increase of services versus the phone, it's huge.
But will they need to have the consumer tech hardware still being in strong demand in order to justify that pivot towards more services?
Right. So that is the challenge. I would not know what their plan is in order to manage their price structure. But to a certain extent, as they move forward, so the moment they introduce a new model, the older model would go down in price. And those who desire to have the brand but can't really afford it may look for the one generation behind. And therefore, you can funnel them into the ecosystem of services. But those who could afford, of course, will definitely be the ones who get the latest and to have the bragging rights to say that I have the latest iPhone 11 or 12 moving forward.
So Apple has launched a whole new slate of different products. You mentioned yourself, things like Apple Pay and Apple TV. Does this mean that in the future, Apple's position in the marketplace is going to be fundamentally different, that in 10, 20 years' time, it may not be seen as the front runner in the consumer tech market in the same way as it has been in the last 10 to 20 years?
I would foresee that. It'll be bigger than what it is today. In the past, Apple brand itself as Apple Computer. And some years ago, they dropped computer and said, it's Apple. Right? And because iPhone became so popular, iPhone and Apple become synonymous, right? But moving forward, building the ecosystem, I can see the chess pieces moving to the right places. And they're trying to build a lifestyle. When you have a lifestyle, you cannot live without it, right? You got to pay for everything every day, for your coffee and stuff. Apple Pay will do that for you. You need entertainment. That's Apple Store. You have the Apple TV Plus. And that will bring in the entertainment. So everything that is important to our lives, you can see that they are trying to be in there. And that's why they are trying to invest so much in Apple TV, because despite the fact that you have Netflix, you have Amazon, you have Disney, are front runners in there, they're giving a shot.
And to what extent do you buy into Apple's vision? Are you part of that Apple lifestyle vision that they are trying to develop? Do you use Apple products?
I used to use Apple products. As a person who live and breathe brands, I know the psychology behind it. I don't allow that to affect me. I do what is logical. Brands do make you irrational. And I do not let myself cross the irrational boundaries.
So all those Apple fanboys out there, they're being irrational?
Yeah, to a certain extent, if you were to want to queue overnight to be the first to get an Apple iPhone, I think that's a bit irrational.
Howard Yu is LEGO Professor of Management and Innovation at IMD Business School and a regular contributor to the commentary section on CNA Online, and he's here to talk to us about our smartphone habits. So, Howard, let us have it. How bad are our smartphone habits?
It's really, really bad, to the point that I think a whole big chunk of the population basically lose the ability to control our own daily agenda. Obviously, we wake up, we check on social media tweet, we check on Facebook, we check on email, and then we go to bed. The last thing we leave is our smartphone. They basically dictate whatever we think, we do, we enjoy.
Yep, that sounds like my daily existence, and I'm sure it's the daily existence for a lot of people. But what's wrong with that?
Well, the problem with that is we lack the opportunity or the chance to think for ourselves. If you think for a moment, we are talking about the age of the rise of artificial intelligence. We need to be creative in our way of doing things, thinking about solving problems creatively, and all of these deep work, deep thinking, cannot be conducted with all this distraction around the clock. And I think smartphone itself is not an issue. The problem is it prevented us from doing more creative work, more value-adding activity throughout our day.
What are the implications of that? I mean, if the technology is there to support us and to make our lives easier, even if that takes away some of our creativity, what's the problem with that for society in the long term?
It comes down to this. I think the entire ecosystem surrounding the smartphone is basically suffering this classic principle and agency problem. Let me expand a little bit, right? Because if you're thinking about Facebook and Google, at the heart, their interest is not around consumer, it's around advertiser. So whatever we're using their product and services, they're not necessarily having the best interest for us. So as a society, the key question is, do we want our whole citizens to be captured, their attention, just to support these for-profit organizations? That's the reality we need to collectively confront it with.
But some people would say that's a price worth paying, that the benefits of platforms like Facebook and search engines like Google far outweigh the potential price we have to pay to surrender data to them, for example.
Well, that's one obviously a perspective in a way that there's no doubt that there are tremendous amount of convenience, tremendous amount of value add coming out from all this innovation from big tech giant. But let us not forget in the end, is what type of society we want to build upon? What measure do we measure our own success? There are studies and studies showcase to us that the happiness among millennials who are obsessed with Instagram, obsessed with Facebook, they're reaching all-time low. And people using Facebook and media, social media obsessively, they don't find themselves in the end a happier individual. And I think we are paying too much cost in trading off convenience and information on the fingertips. There's always the opportunity cost. And I think that opportunity cost now we need to account it for when I'm making these type of analysis, benefit and cost analysis.
But isn't society generally self-regulating? And if there is a groundswell of opinion which suggests that social media addiction, for example, isn't making us happy, in due course, we will wean ourselves off social media.
So I think there is almost one philosophy or one angle to looking at this is we simply make all of this information, all this insight available for the general public. And so that consumer, ourselves as individual, we can make our own choice. That is an enlightened approach. And I agree, you know, in principle. But in reality is, if you're looking at these big tech giants, they are deploying tremendous amount of gadgetry, tremendous amount of research to get us addicted almost into their own services. It's almost not like I don't want to spend less time on social media. It just, I couldn't even afford, I couldn't pull myself out. It is almost a manifestation of an addictive behavior. Now, once we're talking about addictive behavior, then we can no longer rely on piecemeal self-regulation, self-help approach, but we indeed require larger collective societal conversation in trying to see how can we shift the paradigm at large.
Let's swing this back to Apple. That's the reason why we're having this conversation, is the fact that we're going to see what Apple has got up its sleeve with regards to the latest iPhone next week. You spoke about addiction there. Does that mean that people who are going to be lining up on the first day of sales for the latest model of the iPhone, they're addicted to iPhones?
I think it is a little bit more complex than that. Fundamentally, I think Apple iPhone for the longest time, it has been seen as a symbol for prestige, symbol for status. And among their fan base, there are individuals who are so eager to be the first one who got the latest gadgetry. So it's almost an irrational following that we've seen among this one single device. Now, whether this is justifiable, that's up for debate. But, you know, if you're looking at people, how they line outside the Apple store, fully knowing in 2 weeks they can get their iPhone anyway without such tremendous amount of fight, this is totally a irrational behavior, right? Good for Apple, but may not be so good for the society.
So what's your message to those people who are perhaps already planning their strategy to make sure that they have got the latest iPhone on the first day of sales?
For those who are able to line up to be the first one, good for them, congratulations. But for those who are not necessarily be the first one who get their phone, well, just pause for a little moment, because you know, these days, the iPhone innovation is much more incremental basis, right? Unlike back then, iPhone 4 and iPhone 5, we really see a tremendous amount of leap in terms of the product features and the touch and feel. We know that these days, in terms of the latest iPhone, is pretty much incremental, as well as all the other gadgetry around that ecosystem, which is why you see the revenue of iPhone is dropping and the number of iPhone probably has been dropping even more dramatically. So for those who cannot afford the time to line outside, or who couldn't be the first one who get the latest version, don't get despair. It may not be as good as you think.
Howard, that's an interesting message to end on. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
So there you have it. Our experts say that declining sales don't mean that some people's devotion to the iPhone is going to disappear anytime soon, and that there will always be people willing to queue for hours to get their hands on the latest version. Are you one of them? I'm David Bottomley, and this was The Pulse.